1, 2.
Welcome to Two for the Road, movies with Matt and Adam.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Adam. We are a weekly movie pairing podcast. Every week we will pick a theme, recommend a movie to the other guy he has not seen or has forgotten based on that theme, watch and discuss this.
We do have a 25-year age difference, so we have a different set of movies that we've watched.
None more so evident in this week's selection.
Today.
Shout out to Jen.
Yep.
What up, Jen? Recommended we watch the movie Harvey.
Uh-huh.
Which you've talked about many times.
Right.
It was a movie that when you talked about, I was like, Jimmy Stewart sees it's just a giant rabbit? And you're like, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. I find it funny. I don't know.
It seems like a movie that shouldn't exist in 1950.
Probably not. Yeah. Why do you say that? Is it
okay? You want to get into it?
Yeah.
All right. The first movie is Harvey.
Yeah. Our theme is giant invisible rabbits or something.
Yeah. Pukas.
Pukas.
Our theme is pukas,
and they're completely different.
Yeah. So let's get into Harvey. I always like to throw the name in there because then I can put the little bit of Harvey theme music
that's
just played. First of all, correct me if I'm wrong, Jimmy Stewart, pretty big deal in 1950?
Huge deal. I mean, he was doing stuff with Hitchcock, he was doing stuff with everybody, you know.
It seems just like an odd, like, this seems like if this was made now, this would be like Elijah Wood taking some weird, role to it just seems like this is like a really big left turn for a major star.
Well, he was, he did it on Broadway. It's a Pulitzer Prize winning play.
I thought someone else did it.
I thought he did it. There was somebody else and they replaced him with Jimmy Stewart, I think.
Yeah.
You may be right about that, but... Yeah, it was a big deal.
I do my research, Matt.
Yeah,
I read Wikipedia. You do a lot more.
You read better than I do. It was a pretty famous play at the time. So, but it, I mean, he's Stewart did mostly, I think, serious stuff, but he did a lot of comedy too. So.
I mean, was it Philadelphia Story?
Philadelphia Story.
It's funny in that.
Yeah. He did a lot of stuff with Hitchcock, so all serious stuff. But he did some comedy too, and he's very very versatile. And he was huge. I mean, he was in World War II. He was a bomber pilot, I think. He came home and picked up right where he left off in Hollywood, I think.
So he had a career, went and bombed the hell out of some...
Germans.
Well, I was going to say... No, I was going to make it worse, but yeah, Germans, broadly.
Yeah.
And then he comes home and he's like, all right, back to the studio.
Right.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he was gone from 1941 to 1946. His first movie back, It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
Which is sort of a serious comedy.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah. Wow.
But I mean, I get it.
I know. Yeah, I know. Actually, at the time, it was a big failure.
Really?
Yeah. Until it got on TV. Mm-hmm. And then, it's like a Christmas Story.
Dude, I heard this this is maybe tangential, we don't have to get too far enough, but I heard this crazy stat that I think it was like around somewhere in the 40s that, like, the average person bought 43 movie tickets a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in the last couple of years, that number has declined to 2.5.
Wow.
So, like...
The 40s, that was before television.
Yeah.
It was... Radio was big, but it had been around for a while. Movie theaters. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I think that's around that time, maybe even drive-in movie theaters. you know, were starting to happen. So, wow, that's a big number.
That's like, so like people like,
that's oh, like the, every week.
Right. So people are like, oh, the movie theaters are dead. It's like, no, actually they died 50 years ago. Like,
right, right.
People don't think about it that way. Anyway, I just thought that was a crazy stat.
Yeah, that's nuts. I had no idea.
So, Harvey.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know where you want to start.
Small town guy. Very
small town guy.
Affable. Is that a word?
Affable?
Yeah.
Affable?
Yeah. Very, you know, and
he's got money.
Comes from money, definitely. Lives with his sister and his niece. And his best friend is 6 foot 3 and a quarter, I think. Invisible rabbit named Harvey.
Apparently Harvey went to the combine. He got measured.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this movie is a handles mental illness in a very interesting way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, if it's been today, if it was made today, it'd be completely different.
Well, if it made today, it's the Joker.
Right, you know what I mean? Right. That's mental illness.
Right. If it's made today, it's Donnie Darko. So, yeah. So, that's Jimmy Stewart is this kind of wealthy guy. We first meet him sort of walking out of his house, and he's got his three-piece, no doubt, wool suits.
Mm-hmm.
Just must be just so sweaty. He's just... Look, everyone just looks so uncomfortable in this movie. And he's, you know, talking to the postman, and he's like, he gets a letter and he rips it up.
Right.
It's like, okay, like, you're clearly...
Doesn't care.
Yeah, you're clearly a different kind of dude.
Uh-huh.
And we see he's like, he's sort of like talking to what appears to be himself, and he's like acting like someone else is there. And then we eventually find out that he's got a buddy.
Yeah.
Harvey.
Yeah.
And his family is like actively... They're like trying to like live their life around him.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like planning a party while he's like out at the bar.
Right. Because he goes to the bar every day.
Yeah.
So they figure, okay, we got a certain time limit. He won't be home until this time of day. So we're going to have a party. He doesn't know about it.
And I was trying to figure out like what was the party for? They're trying to hook up the daughter.
That's part of it. Okay. Yeah. It's a society thing. She's trying to, you know... The people invited are the big wigs, you know, the women with the fox stoles on, you know, which are ridiculous, you know. But, yeah, and it's trying to hook up the... She's trying to present her daughter out to these women because they all have sons and grandsons and whatever, you know. Myrtle May.
I love the way you say, it's a society thing. That's like, dummy. Like,
yeah.
Like, don't you know?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's a little, I think she's trying to get herself into the rankings of this big society in town. So,
and they're also trying to marry off the daughter, right? That's
right,
the whole thing.
Right, that's the whole. They want to get Myrtle May married off because she's getting to be spinster age.
I love that word because it's like, it's so, like, it's like, what's the opposite wording? This bachelor. It's like, that's so positive. Spinster is so negative.
I guess that's why they came up with bachelorette.
I guess, but no one says that.
No.
Yeah, so she's damn near, what, 25?
Yeah, probably.
Too old. So, you say Myrtle May, is that the actress or is that a character?
That's the character.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no idea who anyone in this movie is except for...
Jimmy Stewart. Okay. The guy who played, the worker at the, kind of the...
Mental institution.
Yeah, Jesse White. He's most famous because he was the Maytag repairman, the loneliest man in the world.
Okay, much older when he did much, that.
Yeah, yeah.
I imagine him slouching on a washing machine.
Yeah, yeah.
With his cap hanging down over his
still
head.
Wearing that, you know, repairman's cap.
Yeah, just looking kind of like, golly
lonely.
Gee.
Yeah, that's
no
him.
One's calling. Okay.
And I think Josephine Hall. We will see her again, and when I give you Arsenic and Old Lace to watch.
All right.
Because I believe she won. Didn't she win the Best Supporting Actress for this, I believe?
Who is she?
She's just a woman that plays hysterical women.
Who is she in this
Josephine
movie?
Hull? She's the sister. She's Jimmy Stewart's sister.
Oh.
Meryl May's mother.
Okay. She was exhausting. It's really hard to like watch. Like I never do this. I watched some of this movie on double speed because I just knew like, okay, she's going to rant about something that just happened for 35 seconds. Mm-hmm. Let's make it 17 seconds.
Okay.
In my time. Because I can't handle it.
Oh my God.
There's like this old timey aspect of this movie. Yeah. And I guess mostly because it's based on a play where they're just like screaming at each other.
And nobody's listening to anybody.
No one's listening. And they're just like going on and on about stuff. I'm like, I just saw it happen. Like, why are you recapping what just happened a second ago? Mm-hmm. And some of it was a little bit exhausting for me, Matt.
Yeah, she did. She won Best Supporting Actress for this.
All right.
You wouldn't have voted for
her. No, but also I don't think the Academy is opening their doors to me anytime soon. Although I will not punch Chris Rock, so maybe I should be considered.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, and most of the people in here are just, you know, character actors. That you, if you watch more movies from the 40s and 50s, you'll see these people in a lot of them, but they're not real famous.
Right.
Except Jesse White. And that's okay. From TV.
So, Jimmy Stewart is a kind of free-spirited, very free-spirited bachelor. Spends a lot of time in the bars. There's a judge involved who's like...
Friend of the family
who's like trying to like... Let's keep an eye,
yeah,
keep
yeah,
an eye on him.
Everybody's trying to keep an eye on him and, you know...
And they have this plan to get him committed.
Right.
Like that day. Which, okay. And so Josephine Hall goes to the loony bin. What do they call it? Like the, I think it's just called a rest.
Rest place or something. Rest, okay, area. The rest. Yeah, rest area. I don't know what rest something, you know. So, sanitarium or something.
Yep. And so they go and, oh my God, I just saw who Josephine Hall won against. I'll tell you later. So,
yeah, I know the movie.
Mm-hmm.
All About Eve, right?
Yep.
Oh.
So, we'll get to that, I guess. So, she's trying to get her permitted, they mistake it, and so she starts talking to the doctor. Okay, by the way, like, HIPAA law out the window.
There is no HIPAA
any
law.
Any kind of, like, ethics in medicine, any kind of, like, patients' rights, all this is just, like, what the hell? Like, I'm pretty sure the orderly broke some laws in his practice.
Sure he did. So, if it was today, yes. Maybe not back then, but...
All right, so she goes and the doctor's like, oh, does your husband drink a lot? And she's like, well, he does with this rabbit. He's like, oh, rabbit, tell me more. So he thinks she's crazy.
Right.
They go to lock her up. The orderly just grabs her. Essentially, like, throws over his shoulder like a potato sack. Is like, you're coming with me because you're crazy.
Right.
And that just flies.
1950.
Then they realize they got the wrong person.
Yeah, he's out wandering around the grounds.
They try to find him. They can't. They let her go. I'm a little bit, like, struggling with, like, the middle of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff that happens, which was like, oh, if one person said, like, one more word... These 30 minutes would not have to happen. And I believe this is, you referred to this as madcap one time. And that's what madcap is, right?
Right.
It's like, it's zany and it's meant, it's...
It's confusing. There's all sorts of things going on. Like you say, people are yelling at each other. Nobody's listening. There's all sorts of things going on. The nurse at the hospital is in love with the doctor. He has no clue. Which is probably the worst part of the movie.
Yeah, like, she's in love with him, but also, like, not really.
Yeah.
Like, why do you like him?
Yeah. He's a dick.
Oh, because it's 1950s and you're a...
Yeah.
Money-grubbing, weak woman is what we're supposed to assume?
No, I don't think so, but... I don't know. But, yeah, that was kind of a...
Yeah, it's kind of... Well, it's like, okay, you're maybe just attracted to assholes.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that happens. That's a timeless...
And the guy who runs the whole place is a little absent-minded, kind of adult, and very, like, he comes out of his office and tells the nurse, get my hat and coat. That kind of stuff is like, oh God, mm-hmm. you know. But 1950.
Yeah. We're going to excuse a lot of that, right?
Yeah.
Probably should stop focusing on that. So, at the loony bin, Jimmy Stewart runs into the doctor and the nurse, invites him out for a drink.
Yes. Which he does. Either invites him over. Anybody he meets, he invites him over for dinner or a drink.
Yeah. Very nice guy.
Taxi driver, a guy who opens the door at the asylum. Go over for dinner tomorrow night.
So there's this big like comedy of errors of like, where is Jimmy Stewart? We're trying to track him down.
Elwood P. Dodd.
Yeah. Elwood P. Dodd. I will continue to call him Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah. Elwood P. Dodd.
Like, so some people think that they got him to like lock him up.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he's at the bar waiting for his friends. They kind of realize that's happening.
Right.
Right? Like, the orderly comes back to the hospital.
Where is he?
Yeah, after being gone for, like, hours.
Yeah, where did he go? I guess he went home, got something to eat, you know?
Oh, that's another thing. Like, okay, just a hard stop of the podcast.
Okay.
Onion and egg sandwich? Was that ever a thing?
It must have been. Because
he kept saying it like that's a thing. Like,
yeah, yeah. How about an onion and an egg? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can whip one of those out. Like, she knew exactly what he meant. Yeah. I'd never heard of it.
Oh, only in this movie. Oh, onion and egg? You mean like a Studebaker? Like, I mean, what is that? I'd never heard of that. Is that like an old Depression era carryover?
Probably.
It just like
throw an egg on a piece of bread with a sliced onion. That's what it sounded like to me.
That's what it sounded like to me, too. Hardly a go-to. Like, what's the condiment?
And she was going to mayo. Yeah.
Is that a mayo? Is that a soy sauce might be a little bit good with that? But, like, if I have soy sauce in 1950,
no.
Ketchup, maybe?
Ketchup.
But yeah, I guess the eggs.
People put eggs on ketchup.
Children.
Yeah. And my brother.
And my wife. Anyway, egg threw me way off.
Yeah, because she offered him something better before.
She's like, "Hey, you want like ham and cheese? No, like onion and egg."
Okay,
I'm a certain kind of trashy person.
Yeah, and he's very aggressive.
Yes, like insanely aggressive. Like, you know, everyone has like, you know, someone in their family like, "Hey, he's a little handsy." This guy was way handsy,
right?
Like ultra handsy.
Yeah, it was again.
1950.
And again, if it was made today, that wouldn't be part of it, I wouldn't think.
If it was made today, they would probably flip the genders to make it acceptable. It'd be Melissa McCarthy as the orderly.
Yeah, and she's grabbing some guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's grabbing some guy who's probably actually gay. You know?
Right, right. They would have to somehow
make it, like, acceptable.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? It'd be something like that.
Yeah, of course.
So, anyway, long story short, they end up back at the bar. My favorite line in the movie, they're looking for Jimmy Stewart, and they ask the bartender, "Is he alone?" He's like, "Well, there's two schools of thought on that." I laughed out loud when he said that.
That is a funny line.
I did not expect it.
Yeah.
They think that, because he's supposed to meet the doctor, he's like, "Well, the doctor was here." There were a couple of escorts in the booth over there, and the doctor recognized one of them. I didn't quite get this part. He's like, they started chatting, but like, I guess the escorts didn't want to be recognized.
Right?
Was I getting that right?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, "Oh, you're a hooker." And they're like, "We're not hookers. Be cool. Like, we're off duty." Is that?
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me. Somehow he knew one of these hookers, and they didn't want him there. Trying to get rid of him. So
there's a commotion and a fight, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then the doctor leaves or whatever, and then the orderly goes to try to find him, can't find him, comes back, and they try to take Jimmy Stewart back to the rest terrarium, and then finally the doctor shows up. Everyone shows up, okay?
Cause right, right.
This is the movie. This is a movie where everyone has to end up in the same room, right? Everyone has to end up at the end, right?
Right.
It's like. The Burbs.
Mm-hmm.
You all have to end up at the house.
Right.
And so they're all there, and they realize that Jimmy Stewart's crazy, even though the doctor is also now seeing Harvey.
Right. Yeah, he's being chased by him.
And we get a little bit of Harvey's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Stewart met Harvey one night after drinking.
Uh-huh.
And realize that Harvey is like this interesting preacher. He's a puka. He's like a Celtic watch animal, spirit animal.
Spirit animal, I think.
And he can stop. So was this like a real thing, or is this like what a drunk thing? So he can stop time. You can transport to another location. You can.
He got somebody around, but I don't know about. Yeah, I think it was his figment of his imagination.
He's like, suddenly you're charming to women. Suddenly cops can't catch you. It's like, are these real things? Just what a drunk thinks they're like when other people look at them. And so the old guy sees Harvey, but then he's like in his office. Jimmy Stewart comes out. They realize they're okay, we're going to shoot you up with this like injection.
Yeah, it was almost like a lobotomy.
Right.
Yeah.
It was kind of like we can't do a lobotomy on stage.
Yeah, we got to shoot you up with this big needle.
Right.
And he says, okay, whatever you need, whatever you want, I'm okay.
Right. Very affable.
He really is.
And the taxi driver comes in. He's like, I need my money. Oh, we're going to shoot him up real quick. No, no, no. I need it now.
Yeah. Stop.
So he interrupts him to get it. And as he's leaving, the taxi driver kind of explains this drug is going to change him for the worst.
Right. He says, I drive him out here and I drive him home. They're always different. For the worst.
Right. He goes on to explain that, you know, they become, on their way here, they're very talkative, friendly. On the way back, they're complaining. There's no tip.
Yeah.
And he says, like, they turn into real people.
Right.
You know what stinkers those could be.
Another good line.
Another good line.
Yeah.
Memorable. And so they stop it, you know, break it up. No, no, no. Elwood, you're good. You're fine just the way you are. They're walking out. Jimmy sees that Harvey wants to stay with the doc, or the doc wants Harvey to stay. He allows it. Then as he's walking it back a few more steps, Harvey joins him again.
Yep. He's not staying with the doctor.
So, a couple questions here.
All right.
Are there two Harveys? Are there zero Harveys? Like, is Harvey in your heart? Like, in that last scene, does the doctor still see Harvey and Jimmy Stewart also sees Harvey? Or can there only be one Harvey? Or are they both crazy and there's no Harveys?
That could be it.
The last
one? It's just part of who they are now. Yeah, because the doctor seemed a little crazy too. But, God, I don't know. I don't really know what to think. Yeah, there could be more than one Harvey.
Why not?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's magic.
I mean, the only reason his name is Harvey is because Jimmy Stewart liked that name. He could, you know, the doctor's Puka could have another name, but it could be the same thing. Well, his sister, I think, sees him too, because she's always, oh, that Harvey. You know, like she knows that it's real. But it seems crazy.
She's kind of fighting against it.
Yeah, she's fighting against it. So she sees them too. And, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. How many Harveys are there?
And so, well, so are you coming from the perspective that Harvey is a real thing that these people are seeing? Is Harvey their psychosis? Like, are they having a mental breakdown when they see Harvey?
It's hard to tell because we do see movement of doors and things. So how do we process that? Is it now it seems like, oh, there is a Harvey. It is. So I think it is. I think he's real.
Okay.
I think he's one of those things that not many people can see. And it's just, you know, and it's made Jimmy Stewart, his friendship with Harvey has made him a better person.
So in the world of the movie,
right,
the Pukas are real, Harvey's real.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think because we see evidence of, like I say, a door opening or closing and stuff like that. So
right, but you know, a lot of times that's like, I'd have to go back and watch it. Like, is everyone reacting to that, or is it just one person's perspective? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and I don't know. I wasn't like scrutinizing it that closely when I was watching it.
Yeah, they never have a scene where everybody says, "How'd that door open?"
Right. Right.
Like most movies would do. Mm-hmm. So we're left to figure out, is there, you know, is it, again, is it in Jimmy Stewart's mind? Is he seeing it, but nobody else? It's not really happening, so mm-hmm. who knows? But I think Harvey's real, and I think that, you know, Jimmy Stewart just sees him. And I think the other people see him, too.
Okay, another question. Mm-hmm. What is this movie criticizing? Like, it's obviously criticizing, like, the wealthy in a way, but is it just like, because if this was a play before, so mm-hmm. it probably came out, what, mid-40s, I'd assume? Yeah,
late-40s, mid-40s. Late 40s.
Okay, yeah. I guess they could maybe turn around movies faster back then.
Yeah.
So, like, is it criticizing just, like, the American modern, like, at that time, like, modern way of thinking? Mm-hmm. Where, like, go, 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 go. Like, you actually should stop and hit your local bar and interact with people. And, like, I'm just, like, what's the...
I think part like, of it is... Deep is it? I think part of the criticism is how we look at, you know, mentally ill people. Yeah, we want to throw them right in the hoosegow and give them the shot, mm-hmm. you know. But if, you know, there's a lot of mentally ill people who are not dangerous and not, you know, and Jimmy Stewart's definitely one of, I mean, his character, L.P. Dowd, is definitely one of those. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it. I think, you know, there's always that criticize the rich, you know, for their little parties and mm-hmm. that stuff. But, I don't know. What does it say about alcoholism? Because he drank a lot.
It's pro alcoholism.
Sitting in the bar, yeah. drinking, you know.
But it's almost like he has to do that because when he's there, everyone's like, oh, yeah, Harvey. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're, like, accepting of him.
Right.
So he's found his, like, in club. When right. he's out in, quote, unquote, the daylight of the real world.
People look at him like he's nuts. Yeah, yeah. Do we ever actually see Jimmy Stewart take a drink?
That's a good question.
I don't think we do.
So do you think that he's... Like, okay, I'm always... Like, I never know, like, the studio rules at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing back then it was totally fine to drink on camera.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
I've seen other movies. Like,
Nick and Nora movies. Charles. Every scene they're having a drink.
But I wonder if that's, like, a personal brand kind of thing. Mm. Or if he was, like... Yeah, I'll be in your movie and I'll play the alcoholic, but I'm not drinking on camera.
Yeah, I don't think that he would have a problem with it. But I think if he was getting hammered, he might have a problem mm-hmm. with it. But I don't, and I don't know if we ever see him take a drink. I don't think we do. But his glass gets empty for some reason. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's Harvey.
Harvey.
Harvey's drinking. It's Harvey. It's Harvey's doing it. Yeah, I guess that's like the movie generally. And I think you think this movie is funnier than I do.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also one of the sweetest movies. We don't normally have those kind of movies on our show.
What makes it sweet?
I don't know. It's just that he's so friendly. He's so, you know, I like the line where he says, you know, my mother told me there was two ways to go through life. One was smart, one was pleasant. I tried being smart. Now I think I'll just be pleasant. You know, it's just...
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. That was the debut of Matt's Jimmy Stewart, by the way. We've never heard that before. I've never heard that before.
In this world, Elwood, you must be oh so smart or oh so pleasant. Well, for years I was smart. I recommend pleasant. And you may quote me.
I am now going to request it every now and then on the show. All I'm right. going to say, what would Jimmy Stewart say about that? Because okay. that was pretty good.
Okay.
It's pretty good without, like, you didn't even, like, warm up. You didn't, like, he just busted it out.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's, I just think about that line all the time of how, you know, being smart isn't everything in the world. But being friendly and nice, you know, makes the world better.
People won't remember what you tell them. Right. Remember yeah. how you make them feel.
Yeah, I've always found this movie to be so rich in just the warmth of it. I just love watching. I mean, compared to our second movie today, okay. which don't get me wrong, I love those kind of movies.
Different.
We don't watch many movies like this.
Yeah,
it's just different.
No gunplay in this one.
There's nobody gets shot. You know, no. Nobody burns down anything. Or...
this movie is pretty wholesome for a psychotic man. An alcoholic psycho who has visions of a giant rabbit. Yeah, pretty wholesome as far as that description. Right.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if that had anything to do with the selection in our second movie. Of,
it's got to be.
Right? Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah, the anti Harvey.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I don't know. That's I just love it. I love Jimmy Stewart in it. I love all the yelling and screaming and people not listening and you know just you know Jimmy Stewart. You know, somebody will say something, says, "Oh, what do you have in mind?" You know, that kind of stuff. He says that to everybody. You know, says the same thing.
He's like this, like he's like this, like cool breeze, like flowing through, like these people who he seems at least crazy, right?
Right, and that's part of it, I think. You know, a friend of mine who used to be a counselor for drug and alcohol people. He said that he said if you think about it, the alcoholic, the practicing alcoholic, is probably the sanest person in the bunch. And it's okay. That's what it seemed like to
yeah. Well, it kind of made me think of like you know, I come from a background of teaching, and like one thing you learn pretty quickly, if you're in a room of kids who are screaming, you just need to talk quietly,
right?
And they will match your oh, level. If you scream at them,
they're just gonna start just keep screaming. Yeah, and he was like that. Yeah, he's like in this world, this whirlwind world where everybody's going and you know and screaming and yelling, and he just slides right in.
Right, it's like he's got this like safety net, which is Harvey, mm-hmm. but also like is the safety net his deep alcoholism? it's like I don't know.
Yeah,
it's hard to separate the two, but
yeah,
I guess a charitable reading is that Harvey's real and Harvey is guiding him through the world and has made him a better person.
Right.
A negative reading is that he's completely crazy.
Yeah.
And he's liable to do whatever Harvey wants him to do, whether it be burn down Patrick Swayze's house or do something else. You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
Yeah, I prefer to think of the first.
Yeah, okay. I'll leave that. I teased who won, mm-hmm. who Josephine Hull won. So she beats two people from All About Eve. Mm-hmm. So she beat first Nancy Olsen, Sunset Boulevard.
Yep.
Fair.
Yep.
Nancy Olsen was fine in that movie, but she wasn't like...
Great movie, but she wasn't a big part of it.
Hope Emerson from a movie called Cage. Never seen it. No. And then Celeste Holm, All About Eve. Yep. Who was she?
She was on, always kind of had her hair up, kind of grayish hair. I can't remember what her actual title, role or name was.
And then Thelma Ritter.
Yeah. The great Thelma Ritter.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, the wisecracking Thelma Ritter.
I mean, come on.
I know.
Okay. Thelma Ritter, you got robbed.
That was a movie that I was very surprised you liked.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, great movie.
And then Jimmy Stewart lost to, I'd be impressed if you knew this.
1950? Oh, God. No, I have no idea.
Yeah, so these are nominees. Spencer Tracy, Father of the Bride. Louis Cowherd, Magnificent Yankee. Hmm. William Holden, Sunset Boulevard.
Yes.
And then the winner, Jose Ferrer, Cyrano de Bergerac.
Jose Ferrer, yeah.
Jose Ferrer, sorry.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Never seen it.
Me neither. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I know the story.
Sunset Boulevard. That was great.
Sunset Boulevard is pretty good. Yeah. I would probably give it to William Holden if I was on the Academy. But, you know, as we've covered, I am not. All right, Matt. Anything else you want to say? Like anything else we neglected to cover here?
No, I think it's just. I mean, if you're looking for something the kids can watch and you know whatever,
little pushback. Huh. I don't think this would keep your standard kids' attention.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You're right.
I think when you say kid, I think like running around. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have like a if you have a weird teen. Mm-hmm.
Like a tween or a teen?
Like a 13 to 20-year-old. They might be like, you want to watch something weird?
Yeah.
Like, let's watch this.
Yeah.
There's nothing like there's nothing like this made now.
You will never see anything like this that's made, it, you know.
No.
Anymore. And this is...
Nothing like this in the last 10 years that's broken through. Maybe the last 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
All right, Matt, you want to guess the score?
Sure.
Okay, Harvey, IMDb. Let me tell you how many people are checking in. Only 56,000.
Oh, for a 70-year-old movie.
7.9.
Oh.
And I will say, I checked this a couple of days ago, and it was 8.
Oh, it's gone down.
Well,
did you review it?
No, I did not review it. I don't write reviews. Uh-huh. You know, 8 is like elite territory.
Right.
So it's, I think you're 7.
All About Eve was 8, I think.
All About Eve should be higher than 8.
Yes.
Yeah, this was interesting. There was too much, for me, there was too much of that other stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was too much like, oh, what do we do? Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, like there was too much like of that. Mm-hmm. And it just really turned me off. But, you know, and there was, you know, sometimes we talk about a movie where, oh, this person had, you know, they were in every scene of this movie. Jimmy Stewart was not in every scene of this movie. Mm-hmm. And he should have been in more.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have. Yeah. I agree with you.
And there was just, maybe it was just Josephine Hole that I just didn't like. Because it was when I think about like that kind of like, what do we do kind of thing, was really just her.
Mm-hmm.
Like the niece or whatever. Like her little affair with the orderly. It was fine. It's kind of this like cute side thing. Like,
right.
You kind of see it in the background. And if it's on stage, it's like, you know, you'd kind of nudge your partner. Like, oh, look at that. You see that over there?
Yeah,
like,
different. Something else going on stage.
Right. But as a movie, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess I just don't like Josephine Hole. I'm anti-Josephine Hole.
Oh, man, I don't know if I'll be watching Arsenic and Old Lace now.
Well, is she like this in that?
Not so bad. Okay. And she has her sister. She has, there's two of them. There are two aunts.
Okay, but it might be... I think I've just discovered a thing I don't like. But hey, I'll watch it. I'll give her a second chance. But yeah. So far, I'm just like, she's 0-1 for me.
Okay.
Okay, no critic consensus on Harvey, but we do have some ratings. Only 28 reviews on the tomato meter.
Wow. I go 88. 86.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's so low.
Yeah, me too. Maybe a lot of people don't like Josephine Hull.
Yeah, this is an interesting. No, I always try to find the negative ones. Mm. It's one note shtick wears thin. Check this out. Oh my God, I've never seen this. This is Dennis Schwartz from the Dennis Schwartz movie review.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, Dennis.
Okay, so maybe he's more like 88. We take his review out. All right, this one, I actually disagree with. Charming, lightweight stuff, so long as you can take Stewart's ingenuousness, but it does wear thin.
Ingenuousness? What?
I don't know. They're saying that he's being inauthentic. His performance is insincere, but I thought that was like... I thought there was like a layer to his performance.
Right.
That like he's a reformed man who has found this deeper version of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not ingenuous. It's actually more genuine than everyone else.
It's his real self.
Yeah.
Alcoholic, nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah. We all become nice guys when we drink, right, Matt?
That's right.
All right. And audience, what do you think? 25,000 people plus checking in?
I'll go
88. Oh,
93.
93.
Yeah. More people liked it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there's not, yeah, I mean, I think it's a fine score.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't hate it. I hated one person, and it just really affected my viewing.
Oh, okay.
All right, Matt, you want to take a break, and we'll come back and talk about Donnie Darko?
Yep.
Second Puka movie of the week is 2001 Donnie Darko. This is a movie that I saw when it came out on video, and it was one of those things where I watched and I was like, this is actually the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
How old were you?
The best like actor ever. 21.
Yeah.
You know, I have a different perspective now. Matt, the floor is yours.
I loved it. I thought it was great. And I don't, I thought I'd seen this or seen parts of it. I don't remember any of it.
Isn't that the beauty of kind of like getting older? And I'm no shots at you. Yeah. Like I have the same thing where I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, oh, I've seen that. And then I turn on like, nope.
Nope. Never seen it. So. I thought for some reason I had seen this. I don't remember any of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the opposite of Harvey. That's for sure. But you know, it's got so many. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal
in it. It's got his sister.
Looking,
yeah,
smoking hot,
and then Mary McDonald, who I always like, played his mother.
Oh yeah, she's always
got
good.
That great reaction bitch face. She's great.
Speaking of things we probably can't say anymore. There's that.
But no, I loved it. It's weird. It's hard to follow sometimes, but all in all, I really liked it.
So at the outset, we should say that I had you watch the director's cut, not because I had seen the director's cut. I just thought, like, hey, more is better, and the director's vision is probably better. I wish I had not had you watch the director's cut.
Oh, because there is, like, a lot of time. It's less than 2 hours, I think.
The original, yeah. It's like a 20-minute-plus difference.
Right.
And the difference is the stuff that kind of like takes the mystery out a little bit. Like all the shots with like, first of all the shots with like his eye and like the grid kind of stuff. That's added.
Okay.
That's all new stuff. That's like director's cut. Any shot with like the book text over scenes, that's all director's
cut. So that wasn't in the...
No. So like you don't get like people criticize the director's cut because it's like holding your hand. It's way less of that. It's more like these things are happening. Figure it out.
Yeah, because I don't, you know, I would read those book chapter or you know whatever. I don't remember any of them. I don't remember what the hell they were talking about. You know, it was unnecessary.
Yeah, and I think that was like I think when so the director is director and writer.
Richard Kelly.
Yeah.
Never done. He was out of the. He looks like he's out of show business.
Which is so weird, right?
Yeah. He made a big flop.
Southland Tales. Man, you gotta. Okay, maybe that's in another category. Big flop.
Yeah.
Because that movie goes for it. And it's just like, what the hell am I watching?
Pretty much what everybody. I guess it was at Cannes.
Yeah.
It got really booed.
Well, it's just like, what is this? Like,
right. Yeah, and then shortly, you know, he didn't take long. He did Darko. Yeah, as far as a director, I think he only has like six things. And the last one was 2009.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of like, what musician is this? Like, is this a Peter Frampton situation?
Yeah.
Where, like, you have that one thing that everyone of a generation knows, and then you're like, that's it. Frampton comes alive. Is there any other Frampton album? There must be.
Must be. And I think he was with a band before that was semi-famous. Uriah Heep, I think, or somebody like that.
It's like one big thing that's, like, really every... Or maybe, like, a Meatloaf. No, because Meatloaf had, like, a second act. I don't know. I always try to think of, like, what's the rock star equivalent of these people.
Yeah, I don't know any of these other movies, but I can't believe a guy that has as much talent to make this movie is gone.
Yeah.
When we got so much crap that other people are making.
There's rumor of a sequel to this, or like a continuation, because I guess he doesn't own the rights to this or whatever. Because I guess he had a conversation with James Cameron, and James Cameron's like, so what happened to Donnie at the end? And he started to tell him what he thought, and I guess James Cameron's like, well, that's your movie.
Oh, really?
So it's like, okay.
Okay.
So maybe something's coming down the pipe? The pike? I never know what the right expression is. Is it coming down the pipe or the pike?
It was probably originally Pike, but it, some reason it got the pipe. Okay. Coming down the pipe.
Coming down the pipe. Coming out the pipe. And so, yeah, Richard Kelly, man.
Yeah.
A really, really wasted talent. Like you said, with so much crap coming out. So you liked it?
I liked it a lot. Yeah. Very interesting. Now that you, you know, that you said that about the director's cut, I'm interested in seeing the shorter version.
Yeah. Yeah. Quicker, weirder.
Yeah. I like weird. Yeah. Yeah, it got kind of wrapped up at the end. Mm. I mean, I still don't know what's going on, but it's sort of like, okay.
That's that.
That's that.
So this is the simple story of a young man who's going through what seems to be a psychotic break.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps waking up in different places. It's sort of like a, almost like a family joke. Mm-hmm. Like the family fridge whiteboard says, "Where's Donnie?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the first movie starts with him awake on his bike at like a down some curvy freeway somewhere.
Yeah, he's laying on this mountain road somewhere, right in the middle of the road, and it's morning. Mm-hmm. His bike's laying there next to him. And you can hear thunder and stuff.
So he's sleep biking.
Right.
So he makes it home. We get this great, like, dinner scene. Was it dinner or lunch? I can't remember. Where, like, you get, like, this really quick, immediate understanding of the family. Family.
Yes. That was the dinner scene. Yeah. Just, yeah. In about 3 minutes.
It's perfect. We get that the father's this, like, Republican... Probably a nicer guy than you would expect, what nice we think of probably. The mom is sort of like a little bit overbearing. The sister's got her own thing going. She's a bit of a free spirit, but she's still well aligned with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie's a bit of a loose cannon. He's using curse words. It's kind of that immature, he's a high school boy.
Yeah.
And the younger sister, whatever, she goes on to be the voice of Lilo and Stitch. She's probably making more money than any of them. So, she's good.
Yeah.
And yeah, we get this, Donnie's taking pills. He's not taking pills. He's going back and forth like many schizophrenic people do.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like when I'm off the pills, that's when I'm myself.
Yeah. And they go back and forth, back and forth.
The old Kanye West thing.
Yeah.
And we get, Donnie keeps waking up in these different places. He gets woken up and taken out of his house. He's following the voice of Frank.
Frank, the giant rabbit.
Mm-hmm. While he's out of his house, a jet engine falls on his bedroom.
Yeah.
Which would have killed him. Yes. But he's not there. So Frank is his savior.
Right.
His guide. And then things get weird. Right?
Right.
So we get a lot of, like, breaks, like, you know, Donnie, like, touching mirrors and seeing, like, other worlds, other dimensions. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure what's going on. We see his school life. A new girl arrives.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Barrymore's his teacher. And she tells this young girl, sit next to the boy you like, which, as a former teacher, you cannot say that. You cannot say that. And so they kind of hit it off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie's younger sister is in a dance group called Sparkle Motion, who's being run by a overbearing, kind of like an old like church marm, but right. She doesn't believe in the church so much. She believes in this one like self-help guy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's, she's got his book and meeting with him and having him do stuff for the school and stuff like that, yeah.
And Donnie's going to therapy. I feel like am I leaving something out here?
No, but, you know, you got his classmates, so a couple of them are real assholes, you know, and he's got his two friends, and they're just pretty immature. Donnie's a little more mature than they are, and he's, you know, they're just a couple. And there's one character who... they make fun of all the time.
Like a heavier Asian woman?
Yeah, yeah.
Charita?
Yeah. Yeah, it's I didn't get that whole thing.
I think it was just to show that these two guys are assholes.
Must be.
I think it was more like, kind of like, this is the vibe that Donnie has grown up in.
Mm-hmm.
And when he seems like different or exceptional or like wanting to be away from that, it's you're supposed to like relate to him.
Right. Okay. Like,
of course he doesn't want to be with these people. Why would he? They're yelling at this Asian woman who's standing silently a few feet away from them.
Right.
And why? Just because they think she's Chinese.
Yeah. They're just a couple of dicks. And he's hanging out with them.
Speaking of dicks, we get a young Seth Rogen appearance.
Yes. Much different looking.
Yeah.
And you can tell by the voice.
Yeah.
At first I wasn't sure about who he was. Oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he, you know, early movie appearance for him. He plays a young, tough.
Yeah.
He's just a bigger guy, that's all.
Yeah.
Not very intimidating. Donnie's visions increase. His romantic relationship with Gretchen also increases. The school gets flooded. We're left to wonder who did it. We just get a message saying, like, they made me do it.
Yeah.
Oh, what else? What am I missing here, Matt?
I don't know.
Oh, I forgot that Frank told Donnie the world's going to end in 28 days.
Right.
Like, his math is more specific. It's like 28 days, 8 hours, yeah. 6 minutes, and yeah. 6 seconds from himself.
And Donnie marks it off on the calendar every day, and we get a little headline, 6 days before the end of the world or whatever.
Donnie's going to therapy with Mrs. Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Surprised to see her pop up. Yeah. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of stars in this movie. There's her. I don't know how much stuff she did after The Graduate, but there's her. There's
Oh, that's not her. It's not the same one.
Is that not her?
No. Oh, no. No, that's... Anne Bancroft was the woman in The Graduate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm wrong.
Yeah. See, she's not listed on here.
She is. Just got to dig a little bit. I will look that up as we talk. So he's going to therapy. The therapist is like getting like increasingly troubled by him. Parents are super cool. They're just like, you're fine. Therapy's fine.
Right.
Figure it out.
Tell some teacher to stick something up her anus, and his father thought it was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, you know, justifiably so, right?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is not Mrs. Robinson. This is Elaine Robinson.
Oh.
Sorry, I guess it was the daughter.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
My bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Wrong Robinson. Anyway, Darko is having these breaks. Things are getting increasingly crazy. He has like a confrontation with Patrick Swayze, who's like this big time like self-help guru. Takes his girl to the movie theater. She falls asleep in the Evil Dead 2?
Evil Dead 2, I think it was.
How can you sleep during Evil Dead 2?
I've never seen it, I don't know.
Oh my god. Bruce Campbell? Come on. So she falls asleep for like the whole movie. While he's sleeping, Frank appears, and we get a little more insight into who Frank is. Donnie asks him to take his mask off. He does. We see it's a human underneath who's, like, missing his eye.
Right.
Looks like he's been stabbed.
We're not sure who it is.
Yeah. Looks like he's been stabbed or shot in the eye. And Frank is like, listen, you got to go. We didn't say this, but it's implied that he tells him.
Oh, you know, he just burn it to the ground, I think, or something.
Yeah.
And so, and that's all he says, burn it to the ground.
A couple scenes before, Donnie found a wallet of where, in front of Patrick Swayze's house. It's like, now you know where he lives. So he goes there and runs it down pretty quickly.
Yes.
Goes back to the theater. And
no one knows that he left.
No one knows they left.
Well, there's nobody else in the theater.
No one's like, you smell like gasoline and smoke. Like, there's no like indication that right. You could just do that, which is an interesting choice.
Yeah, it was kind of a... That was a weird... He burns it down and nobody ever puts two and two together. Because all the focus is on something else after that. Which is they discover this treasure trove of child pornography in the guy's house.
Mm-hmm.
So now they don't even care who burned it down.
No, now it's like, hey, good job. We got this pervert.
All right.
So that happens. A lot of the stuff just seems sort of insignificant. The woman who's kind of in love with the Patrick Swayze character, who's in charge of Sparkle Motion, the dance troupe, who's also dancing as Donnie burns it down. So all these things are happening at the same time, sort of like these events have to happen in order for the next thing to happen. Mm-hmm. And throughout this movie, there's this sort of tension between free will and predestination. Does God exist? Does God not? Can we do whatever we want, or can we just do things within his channel? Like, there's a lot of that going on.
Such a thing as time travel.
That kind of stuff. Time travel exists. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, and like, if time travel exists, like, can you ever really be free from predetermined events if people are affecting time? So anyway, there's a lot going on. It's not explored in a way that's like very heavy. Mm-mm. It's kind of light and ambiguous, which I think is what draws people to this, is sort of like, figure it out yourself.
Yeah, there's no lessons to be learned.
Add your own meaning.
Yeah.
Burns down, which causes the woman who's in love with Patrick Swayze to go to his trial, so she can't accompany Sparkle Motion to their like regionals or whatever.
Oh, no, it's a show.
Yeah.
A television show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ed McMahon used
to have. Like a Star Search kind of thing?
It was Star Search.
Oh, was it Star Search?
Okay. Star Search, yeah.
So they go, and so the mom, Donnie's mom, has to accompany them. Mm-hmm. Which allows Donnie and his sister to have a big party. It's Halloween Eve.
Yeah.
He, I guess, has sex with his girlfriend, which this is one thing that I didn't remember as I was watching it the first time. Like, Donnie Darko's a horny motherfucker. Like, yeah. He brings it up a lot.
Yeah. Well, he actually brought it up to his therapist. He started, you know, she put him under hypnosis, and he's over there unzipping his fly, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But he brings up so much. Like, he's like, when they're watching Watership Down, he's like, yeah, they're cute and they're horny, which means they must be happy, because blah, blah, blah. He keeps, like, coming back to it, which I guess makes sense. Like, you're a teenage boy. You're thinking about it a lot.
And you're not, it's not happening, so.
It's not happening.
And he's with this girl for a couple of weeks. They don't even kiss, I guess.
Yeah. Well, she didn't want to kiss in front of the fat dude watching.
Yeah.
And I read the, I guess the director said the fat dude watching them is an FAA spy. Because he shows up later at, like,
yeah, he's somewhere else. Yeah, at the party. Yeah.
Speaking of the party, they have that. Donnie gets his groove on. Good for you. We hear that the girl's boyfriend, his sister's boyfriend, Frank, is out doing a beer run. We see he left a note on the dry erase board, which is the same writing as what was in front of the school.
Yeah.
They made me do it.
They made me, yeah.
Same handwriting.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So it's like, okay, well, I guess Donnie has seen it so many times on their whiteboard that he's able to mimic it. Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting. He could walk down that hole.
I thought it said Frank went to get beer.
Yeah, but Frank must have written it, right?
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, this movie's hard to recap. Okay, so then there's this whole other woman we didn't even mention, Grandma Death, Robin Sparrow. She wrote a book that set the whole thing in motion.
Right. About time travel.
Philosophy of time travel. Yeah. So she wrote that. Darko's trying to, he sent her a letter. They're going to find her. They find out these two thugs, Seth Rogen and his boy, are breaking into the house, get into a scuffle. Seth Rogen and the guy throw Donnie and the girl on the ground. The girl's kind of just laying there. Donnie has a knife to his throat. A car's coming down the road. Grandma Death's in it. They swerve to not hit her, run over Donnie's girl, killing her instantaneously. Mm-hmm. And the two thugs run off, get out of the car. We got a clown with his mask off, and we get
a bunny suit.
Yep. This guy walks up, and we see that it's Frank. It's a guy from the theater who finally took his mask off. And Donnie stands up, pulls out his gun, shoots Frank in the face.
In the eye.
Explaining why Frank is missing an eye. Donnie tells the other guy to go home and tell his parents everything's going to be okay. Yeah. Which I guess he does.
And then he carries his girl.
Takes her up to the mountaintop where we saw him wake up originally. I was a little bit confused by this part. This is where I'm like, okay, maybe I'm missing the plot a little bit. It seemed like Donnie thought his girl was going to be better somehow when he took her there.
Yeah.
It seemed like he thought something was going to happen. It doesn't.
Nothing happened.
Well, something happened.
Oh, something, but yeah.
So then we see like this tornado, this like vortex opening. Mom flies. Mom and daughter's plane are flying through it. The plane engine drops off, putting into motion, like kind of like righting the wrong of this plane engine appearing in the beginning.
Right.
Where like worlds kind of split. So now the worlds are coming back together. Wake up. Donnie's in his room. He sees the time. He knows the plane engine is going to fall on him any second now.
Mm-hmm.
Starts laughing.
Yeah. He rolls over in bed and then gets smashed.
So that happens. The events are set into motion again. And then we get like a panning shot of everyone like waking up like from like kind of like a dream, but seemingly understanding a little bit of what had happened. Like they had a glimpse into like the other world. They kind of saw what happened in that version of their universe. And now they're awake and they have somewhat have knowledge of it. But, you know, like a dream, you kind of forget it as the day goes on. We see Gretchen is alive. She rides her bike up to Donnie's house.
Doesn't know who he is.
Says, you know, asks this neighborhood kid what happened. Oh, my neighbor died. Oh, who was he? Oh, Donnie Darko. Did you know him? No. Sees the mom. They kind of wave at each other like, do I know you? And
cut.
Scene.
That
was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it make sense to you, the movie? Like you said, in the beginning, you weren't quite sure what happened. Lay on me, man.
Yeah, it makes sense in the end. I think, you know, again, we're dealing with mental illness,
but we're not, are we?
I don't know. You didn't think so?
So when his doctor says like your pills are placebos, it seemed like these breaks that Donnie was having, they weren't an actual psychotic break. It was like sort of like a brief glimpse into like another world. So he was sort of like in between worlds, and like as he was getting quote unquote crazier, he was getting like the worlds were like overlapping more. That's the way I read
it. Okay, that makes sense.
And like that,
I forgot that she said that.
And that like the, I got the sense that the director's point was that you think people are crazy, but maybe they're actually the ones who see more than you think.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like a different version of the Jimmy. It's like a less wholesome version of Harvey, right?
Right. Yeah. You might think he's crazy, but he's not.
Yeah. He actually sees like the bigger picture that you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, now I'm wondering. Now I can't wait to see the other version. I think it'll make more sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the other version is like way less direct. It's more like, why did that happen? Because, like, I mean, the director's cut, they have the book, and, like, it's the text saying, like, there's a vessel, which is, like, the engine, which has to be returned. Yeah. I mean, it's, like, telling you exactly what's happening. Yeah. It's a little bit too on the nose,
right?
I think.
Yeah. We don't need that.
No, because we're smart motherfuckers.
Right. We want to make up our own minds.
What do you think about the performances?
Everybody was good. I mean, like I said, just about everybody in. I like the father. I guess he was in all of this Richard Kelly movies.
Oh, was he?
But no, I liked everybody. I thought they were good. You know, some of the peripheral ones, but I like Mary McDonald. I think she plays an interesting role. What about you?
Mary McDonald's the mom.
Yeah,
Rose. I mean, she was good. She was good as like a, you know, sort of like, hey, this is my family and it's not perfect. Like, my daughter is, you know, reacting to me. But there's some lines in there where you get a sense that the mom and daughter are pretty close.
Yep.
And, you know, my son, the beginning of this movie, my son's calling me a bitch. But even the way he said it seems so unnatural.
Right.
You know, like, just think of, like, a teenage boy, like, saying that for, like, the first time and not actually meaning what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that Jake was good.
Yeah.
I like that face he'd get every time he'd think of Frank.
Like his crooked smile?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if Jake wasn't good, this movie could be really terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the wrong hands.
Yeah.
It could have been really bad.
It could have. Yep.
So he carried it. He carried the show.
And you know, we were talking last week about, like, who could replace Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Brick. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal's that's the right answer, right?
Right, especially back then.
Yeah, like, he would have killed it.
Yeah.
What do you think about the soundtrack?
Oh, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. I really loved it. Mm-hmm. It was good. 80s stuff.
Yeah, like, taking, like, those 80s songs and, like, really putting them in, like, a different context. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, just taking these, like, pop songs and making them feel, like, a lot more, like, haunting.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, disturbing than I think, like, even, like, the original creators intended. I like that.
Yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And then we end with a Tears for Fears cover, which makes it sound like the darkest song ever. It's like a pop hit, like, you know, 20 years ago or something.
All right.
The really interesting choices. Really surprised that... Was his name Richard Kelly?
Richard Kelly.
Richard Kelly didn't do anything else. Yeah. Very surprising. Anything else, Matt? You seem you're...
No, I'm good. I think it's... It's really good, so... And I can't wait to see the shorter version.
Let's see how really good you think it is. IMDb. Hold on, there's a lot of people checking in here, Matt. This is one of our highest... One of our most frequently rated movies of all time. I gotta pull it up here a second. My screen keeps changing, and I click on the wrong thing. And so this is like a... this is like, obviously, it's a giant cult classic. It's a... Mm-hmm. Career-defining moment for Gyllenhaal. Probably one of the... I would say this is probably the thing he's most associated with in his career, which is interesting. Because it happened over 20 years ago. Yeah. All right. 789,000 people checking in. Because you understand, this movie is like... There's a certain age of people. I'm probably a little too old. Mm-hmm. But like, there's people who are probably teenagers in 2001 who are like... Yeah. This is my jam. This is the one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess it was... Wasn't it a failure at the box office? And it became like a cultish...
That's a good question.
Yeah. I'm going to guess 7-8.
8.
Oh, wow.
Yes. $6 million budget. $1.4 million in the U.S. and Canada. $6.9 million worldwide.
But since then, it's a video.
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a solid 8 all day long. I think that's accurate. Mm-hmm. I think this is a once-in-a-generation kind of movie. It's interesting. It's weird. You can't make another story like this. It has an internal mythology that can also, like, live forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite...
And it's carried by a young man who became a huge star.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And like you said, and also the soundtrack is fantastic.
Right.
And again, if you're 17 in 2001, you have no fucking idea who Tears for Fears are, probably, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think about Tomato Meter? 118 reviews.
I'll go 90.
86.
Wow, a little lower.
You know, some people got a zig on this.
I think the other one's higher, 93.
Okay, this is from Variety. It's a negative one. Donnie Darko has plenty of problems, but most stem from a young filmmaker overswinging on his first time up to the plate and hitting a deep fly out rather than a home run. Fuck you. All right. And what do you think about the audience? 250,000 reviews.
9.3.
80%.
Really? That's it?
That's it. Very low.
Critics liked it more than...
It's weird. Like, the IMDb to Rotten Tomatoes crowd, very different in this one. All right, Matt, our next movie, we're going mailroom to the boardroom.
That's right. We're going to go Hudsucker Proxy.
And Michael J. Fox's Secret of My Success. Okay. All right, let's get out of here.
Bye.
Peace.
He's a Philistine.
Philistine.
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
Then I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I have not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
You and again.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this
anymore. It's fun.